Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of The Bad Broadcast, the first episode of 2024. So I'm joined today by somebody who I thought would be a perfect fit for the first episode of the year, the highly requested Ash Adams. The first thing that I think we need to cover is the fact that your name is not Ashley.
My name is Ashlyn. I love when people say my name because I know instantly how they know me. If you call me, yes, Ash, I know you know me in real life or you know one of my friends. If you call me Ashlyn, you're from the dark, dark, dark depths of my past.
The dark
days. You call me Ashy, I know you know me from the internet. So I can instantly know what persona to put on.
That is really interesting, actually. Because yeah, I was talking to Claire and she calls you Ashy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought she said Ashley. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to tell her that her name's not really Ashley. But yeah, I feel like it just, I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is so shocking that your name is Ashlyn.
Do I seem like an Ashley?
You just seem
offensive.
No. You don't actually. You seem like an Ash. Like the name Ash is so you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine calling somebody else with an Ash name, like calling another Ashley. I can't even picture calling them Ash.
Thank you. This is why I named Mars. Her full name is Margaret, because I want her to be able to go by whatever she wants to go by.
Margaret is so versatile.
I know. I'm so obsessed with it. It's the perfect, I can't have another kid. It's the perfect name.
It's the perfect name. But the fact that your name is Ash, your maiden name is Powers.
Oh.
You have a daughter named Mars.
Am I the best person?
You might be. You might be. But I also want to rewind to the last time we recorded.
I was thinking about that today.
Isn't that the craziest? So we recorded last July.
Mm-hmm. End of July.
I think it was the beginning. Because I filed for divorce mid-July.
Oh.
And I was not yet divorced.
No, I saw you.
Yeah.
You came over to my house. We recorded. Yeah. And then like the next day.
Yeah.
Everything in your life.
Because I remember I used our episode because I was taking time off and I was like, well, I have that one recorded with Ash.
Mm-hmm.
And
it needed so edited.
It needed some serious editing because my life took a quick left turn.
That episode got a full BBL, a tummy tuck. It was not the same episode we recorded.
It was not. But even with all of the edits, I mean, people were like, we need more Ash.
It's probably because of the edits. I think you took out several stupid things I said. You left in when I said Mormons don't rub two brain cells together, which was taken wildly out of context.
No, but you didn't even say that about Mormons. You said it about yourself when you were younger.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm just learning. I go back and forth because I want to record about spirituality and faith and faith transitions and deconstruction and Christianity and all these things. And I know that it's highly triggering for people, but it's also like, I can only talk about what I know.
Mm-hmm.
I can only do so much, you know, I can only, and I know that that will not make every single person happy, but it's what I want to talk about. And I think it's what a lot of people want to hear and they want to know about. And that's why people wanted you back on because I mean,
because I can get it out of you.
Because you can get it out of me. No, but just because you have had a really interesting, you know, path between religion and spirituality and what you do now. I mean, your day job is a palm reader.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that comes with a lot of like your day to day is filled with a lot of spirituality and intuition and manifesting. So all that to say, I think it's a great episode to start the year with, because I feel like both of us in our own ways have, I mean, you've completely transformed, especially postpartum, tons of different ways, fitness, your business, everything. I feel like my life is the exact opposite of what it was a year ago. And I just thought it'd be a good way to start the year out to kind of talk about, I don't know, recreating your life, I guess.
Can you believe that right now when everyone's listening to this, you will be a mother?
I know.
Like
I
was a actually, full mother.
I was thinking that she might not be here yet. She could.
Oh, really?
Well, but I don't know.
She would be way overbaked that point, right?
She would be pretty, she'd be a little bit over.
Okay.
She'd be a little bit over, but I think that she'll be here by the time this episode comes out, but don't mark my words. I'm like, should I just go dark? Like after I finish my maternity leave episodes and all that. But I'm like, I'm going to also be spending a lot of time at home, and like, I'm going to need my phone probably for a lot of it. So I don't know if I'll go totally dark, but you may not hear from me a lot.
My brain fully melted after I had a baby, and I was, the things I posted during that time are illegal to witness or remember. If you saw any of them, forget.
So Mars was born in February, 2022,
January, 2022.
I literally, how many times have I said February?
Well, she's an Aquarius. So you're on the right track.
Like, but like I'm having a baby in January and like, why can't I remember that Mars is also January?
You maybe just really want it to be special. You're like, I can't believe I invented having a baby in January.
I can't believe Mars would overstep like that and be born preemptively in January. But 2022?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So she was born in 2022, and just my spiritual journey in 2020, I went through, it wasn't even a spiritual awakening. It was me becoming the most annoying spiritual person you've ever met publicly in 2020.
But it's part of, it's literally the first step.
It's an essential step in the journey. And I'm not kidding.
No, if you see somebody online being as annoying as possible about their spirituality, just know they'll work it out.
Yeah. Pat them on the back and it will be you someday. If you haven't had that phase, you will.
You're almost there. Don't worry. So yeah. So you start this journey.
I was full annoying spiritual in 2020. In 2021, I got pregnant and all of my spiritual gifts just went like dark. And
really?
I've never been the same since. And it just became so much more real afterward, because having a baby is, and I don't mean this to discredit anyone's experience of not having kids, but having a baby, it's like the least matrixy thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
Because when you're just bopping around, whether you're married, single, whether you're, you know, tied down to a place with a career or not, everything is replaceable. Everything, even like a partner, like no matter how much you love your partner, they fill a role in your life that is in a way replaceable. Like that person is not, but you can never replace a child, and your child can never replace you. It's the least matrixy thing in the entire world.
Like, and it's the most like grounding, or the most like tethered reality.
To reality. Yes.
Okay,
because before, so my relationship with manifesting before was so wild and so bizarre and so like instantaneous manifestation, like think it and it appears, like gameplay. It seriously felt like if you've ever played Minecraft or something, and it was like I was playing like the free world mode where you have all the resources and you don't have to go find the gold. You can just go, it's in your backpack already type of a thing.
Yeah.
So that was how it was before I had a baby. And then having a baby like instantly just like plugged me back into the matrix. I don't love that comparison, but I think a lot of people get it. Did you?
Like, yeah. Oh, totally. Okay, I feel like it's the easiest way to describe it. And it's such a good point, because it just kind of like, I mean, I'm speaking from literally no experience of having a baby, but it's like you almost don't have the luxury of the gameplay.
No.
Because you have this person who needs, you know, we're in this day and age where, like, you know, spiritual people on social media and all this stuff, it's like, well, you're creating your reality and you're manifesting and you can just change the character and do all these things. And like, that's great. I totally believe in a lot of it. But then when you throw something in like a baby where like, no, this is real and you have to do these things and you are the sole person who's, you know, either at home all the time or, you know, one of two sole people who are their parents, and like you have to do it.
Well, right.
You can't just say, well, I don't want to do that today. I don't want to, you know, I want to manifest a different reality today. It's like, can't, because there's a baby who needs you to feed it.
No, literally, your baby is the person who you have the most influence over of anyone ever. And you have the capacity to do so much good, obviously, but you do have the capacity to do so much harm if you're being ignorant or selfish. And so it's really crazy to watch how like there's a whole like universe that kind of happens within your baby of like, most of the time when you're walking around day to day, if you like say something mean to someone, maybe it'll hurt their feelings. They'll get over it. It won't like affect their world. If you say something mean to your child, that can become a core memory that negatively affects them for years and years.
Like, yeah.
It's so unmatrixy.
Totally. And it's just interesting that you bring up just kind of the selfish aspect of spirituality and how it can turn into that, because I've talked about this before and I've had beef with this before, mm-hmm. that I think sometimes people get really into spirituality and I always think this about like therapy too. Like people go to therapy and they learn how to blame everybody else for everything that's going wrong. And it's like with spirituality, it's like they learn this language of like, well, nobody else is enlightened or awakened, mm-hmm. and I am. And like, I don't have to participate in your like toxicity anymore. And it's like, you don't have the luxury. I mean, I keep saying that, but you don't have the luxury of doing that when you are responsible for another person.
No, and you never really do, but it's kind of scary to look back at how much, like, have you ever heard people say that there's NPCs? Like people in the world who are NPCs.
Totally, yeah.
I never really gave that much thought, but I was like, oh yeah, there's totally people who, and I called it other things. Like I'd be like, oh, this person is on their first life here. So they're never going to evolve. They're never going to awaken.
It's so pretentious.
It's so fucking pretentious. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
So bleeping pretentious.
I just had Jackie Schimmel on. So
amazing.
You're fine.
So it's
there's
so,
many a C word that
okay,
have happened
perfect.
Lately.
You know, I didn't say the C word until like last year. I know. That was my final frontier.
It was iconic. I was there. It was beautiful.
There's
but yeah, keep
so
going.
Much. There's so much like, it's really, it can be a very scary mentality because pop spirituality and like new age spirituality is so individualized. And even manifestation is so much about like, what can I get and what can life be for me? And it's so, you kind of exist in a vacuum and it really kind of fucked with my head a little bit.
Yeah.
To where people will talk about how like you are the god of your own reality. Like it's a very dangerous realm for any kind of mental illness to play in, even just like personal trauma. Like it does not take a lot to kind of push you to almost insanity. Like it's a really dangerous framework to look at the world through. And I was on a fast track to becoming the worst person known to mankind until I had a baby. And once you're plugged back in and you're reawakened to how much your actions affect other people, you can never unsee it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by AG1. You guys know it. You live it. You laugh it. You love it. It's AG1. It's hard to get all of the nutrients that you need. Have you guys ever tried? It's really, really hard. You have to mix a bunch of supplements and powders and pills, and it's really not that fun. But I wanted a solution that supported my body by filling key nutrient gaps daily. And that is where AG1 comes in. Ever since drinking AG1, I just feel a little pep in myself. My gut feels so much better. You guys know my gut is sometimes an issue. And I feel like AG1 really does give it the boost that it needs just with one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. It is that powerfully simple. AG1 covers my nutrient gaps and supports mental and physical health in just 60 seconds every morning. AG1 also replaces my multivitamin, my pre and probiotic, and my supplements to support energy and focus, which makes it an easy to maintain daily habit. Also, I can't keep them on my shelf because people in my house steal them because they like them. I know with AG1, I am giving my body high quality nutrition. Every batch of AG1 goes through a rigorous testing process, so you know it's safe. And AG1 ingredients are sourced for absorption, potency, and nutrient density. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why I am excited to be partnering with them. So if you want to take ownership over your health this year, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/badbroadcast. That's drinkag1.com/badbroadcast. Check it out. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Dreamland Baby. So I'm in Babyland now, as you guys know, and there are a few items on people's list that are must-haves, and it's really hard to find something that across the board is on people's must-haves. People have different opinions. People's babies like different things. It's hard to know exactly what is the best thing on the market, but I will tell you one thing that was on everybody's list. It is the Dreamland Baby Dream Weighted Sleep Sack. Every mom that I know swears by this. It's so fitting that Dreamland Baby was invented by a tired mom because it's for tired moms. She had an aha moment when she tried a weighted blanket on her baby and it immediately calmed him down. And she knew that he needed a wearable weighted sleep solution. I'm starting off my motherhood journey with multiple in my arsenal because I know that they really are the best. It's got all of the features that moms love. It's tagless, it's got a two-way zipper, it's got the Cover Calm technology, so it's got evenly distributed weight. It is 100% soft and natural cotton, and it addresses the number one issue for new parents, which is lack of sleep. It is mom invented out of desperation, so you know that it's good. So go to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter my code BAD at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. This offer is for new and existing customers. Once again, go to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter my code BAD at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. Oh, I just like, I'm loving this kind of concept of like how to balance being a spiritual being and manifesting your reality and creating a life that you love and filling it with goodness while also being like a responsible human being to the people around you. And I don't know if there's a lot of that discussion going on where it's like, I always think like, I want to use my spirituality and my journey or whatever to like make life better for myself and others. Like I'm not trying to transcend everybody around me. I'm trying to like vibe. Like I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to like have good relationships. When people use spirituality to end relationships, I'm always just like, that seems backwards.
I can't believe you just said that because I feel like I am so alone in that belief.
Yeah.
Because it's the most prevalent belief. Maybe it's our Libra moons that are vibing on this.
It probably is. But it probably is.
I really, in spiritual, this spiritual view around relationships in and of itself is so crazy because it just becomes this conversation about this is what I deserve. This is, and it's like you confuse this inherent worthiness that you have as a person to be loved and like what you're actually investing in a real human relationship.
Yes.
And if that is going to be met.
Yes.
Like people really expect and they try to manifest these relationships where it's like, you just want somebody to worship the ground you walk on, do everything perfectly. And if it's not that, then you shut it down and you say, I deserve better than this because I believe in more. And don't get me started on twin flames. Like it's such a scary, it's just really interesting to have gone through the last couple of years as spirituality had this huge uptick in 2020. And then we're all kind of coming down. And for some of us, it's like a phase. And for some of us, it's like you're in the trenches more than ever.
Yes.
But yeah, relationships are a crazy place where spirituality can get really ugly, really abusive, really.
Yes.
It's just really, really scary.
Yes. And I mean, I don't, trying to decide how open to be, how much of it, but it's like, I got to a point like probably 2 years ago where I was like coming to terms with like, okay, I don't think I'm going to be able to have other relationships in my life, because I was like deep in spirituality. I was deep in deconstruction. I was in a relationship that was very much about spirituality and all of this. And like, I realized that my relationships were like falling to the wayside rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I was convincing myself that it was healthy. Mm-hmm. I was convincing myself like, well, I'm noticing negative patterns in this, and I'm noticing that they are not on this level and they're not, you know, whatever. And I was like losing people, and I fully gaslit myself into being like, well, this is what happens when you, you know, when you're on the right path, you just lose people, which to it, honestly, to an extent, I get like when you start living how you should and how you deserve and only accepting things that are good for you, I totally believe that relationships change and things like that. But I was losing every single relationship with family members, with friends. Anyway, it was just really hard to reconcile, because I was like, I'm doing everything right and I'm on this spiritual path. Why do I feel so lonely? Why am I losing everybody? Why are my relationships not stronger? Mm-hmm. And then like in this last year, somebody asked me this the other day, because they were like, how, I mean, people ask all the time about our friendship, about our adult friendships. I feel like it's, I don't know if I've like just beaten this horse to death, but I just have so much to say about
it. I feel like you should talk about it more. You're such a good well, friend.
Well, that's really nice. But I mainly am like, I just realized that I, rather than thinking about how I could benefit from relationships, it was more like, what is the most fulfilling dynamic that I could be around? Mm-hmm. And once I started only doing that, only being around people who like, I felt like there was this mutual interest in each other's happiness. Mm-hmm. That was when my life got really good, really fast, because I only had friends who I knew were invested in my happiness, and that I was genuinely invested in their happiness too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, life will change like that. Like when you start doing that, and instead of my relationships being like, well, why aren't they catering to me? It was like, well, how are we making each other's lives better? Mm-hmm. And how are we more there for each other? And how are we supporting each other? I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like when I talk about this stuff, I'm like, was that English? Did it sound right?
No, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, I feel like spirituality, there was just this huge kind of like black hole of just hyper individuality that was really tied to manifestation and like awakening, that just led people to see themselves as like the only real person in the world.
Yeah.
And just, it created, and I guess I can just speak for myself, it created this huge like I mentality. Like, this is all about, this life is all about getting what I want, because it's hard to be told via like the manifestation rhetoric that you can manifest your dream life and not become obsessed with like, what can I get out of everyone? And you make these lists of like your ideal partner, and it's all about like what I can get and not what I can give. And why do you want to manifest this dream life? What good does that do? Because ultimately where I've gotten to with manifestation is just the idea. And I guess I'm just thinking about how this is the beginning of the year and people are thinking about everything they want to do. And this sounds so stupid and rudimentary, but like, there's no finish line. It's just experiences.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to embody the energy of whatever it is that you're trying to manifest currently as you are. And if you're going to aspire to something, like, why? What do you want to give in a relationship? Why, like, when you're thinking of manifesting like the ideal partner, are you thinking of like, there is a person out here with a kind heart who has probably been hurt like I've been hurt? They're generous, they're patient, they've developed real relationship skills, probably hard-won relationship skills, and I want to find that person and love them like they deserve. And because they have those skills, I get to benefit from those skills. Yeah. Or is it just a checklist of, I want to receive this, 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 and this?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it took at least me really far away from like good human behavior habits.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I've also been thinking a lot about how, and again, this is just for me, like I always speak in you terms, which is
no, but it's I get what you
mean. Guess I've seen it in other people as well as myself, like especially when you're raised in a church or in an environment that's very like, we have all the answers, or it's very like, you got to preach to other people. Once you move on from that religion, you start preaching to other people, because it's like, that's the only framework that you have for,
yeah,
for spirituality, is like, I'm going to find the answers and then I'm going to teach them to everyone
totally.
Else. Anyway, I had a baby. It plugged me back into like real life.
Yeah.
And so trying to balance my spirituality now as like a human being who understands that like I have a real effect on people and other people have a real effect on me. And it's a game to be played and manifestation is real, but it's not meaningless.
Yeah.
Is so much harder than just bopping around as like a super spiritual, selfish dick the way I was.
Yeah. Well, okay. So how would you define what manifestation is? Because it's literally everywhere. We all follow the amount of drafts I have on TikTok that's like, use this sound to manifest your dream. Like,
do they work? Sometimes they work for
me.
I mean,
I feel like it worked. Honestly, when people are like, wow, your life just changed so much so fast. I'm like, I did those sounds on TikTok.
Liked and stayed. I typed claim into the comment section.
I claimed without sound. Okay, bitch. Like, that's how I got pregnant after 3 months of knowing somebody. How do you define manifestation now?
Okay, so for me, I feel like in the last couple of years, it's become very, very clear that manifestation is the concept of as within, so without.
Okay.
So your reality is just a reflection of something inside of you. I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, if you're walking down the street and somebody just like yells like, hey, bitch, to you or something like that.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel scared and it makes you feel nervous. That doesn't mean that you are projecting that in the sense that you would go call someone a bitch. That's not what projection is. But there's something within you that has a belief that the world isn't safe or that people are just mean to you or that people are out to get you that is attracting that experience. And that's a really touchy subject to talk about, especially in a world of like literally nightmare level, like horrors.
Yeah.
And I don't think like for where we are right now, like this is kind of a tangent, but
please,
for where at least I am right now, I was born in America, white, middle-class family, no disability, anything like that. I am as privileged as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's possible that I have a responsibility in this life to take advantage of all the power that I have to create, manifest, work for, whatever you want to call it, whatever I can, because I'm in this huge position of privilege, even energetically, if you believe that, the energetic privilege where I don't have the same limiting beliefs of people who were raised around tons of trauma.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is like a spiritual energetic privilege. I have a responsibility to create, work for, and manifest all the good that I can for other people, not just for me. It's like, it's the exact same concept. Everything that we think about, you know, money and privilege and stuff like that, it all applies to spirituality as well.
Yeah.
And if I don't have to spend years working through childhood trauma and there's other people who do, or I don't have to spend years working my way out of alcoholism or something and other people do, if I'm at a just naturally like a higher, a place with less trauma.
Yeah.
Like if I'm a few steps up on the rungs, it's not because I did anything to deserve that. It's just a new responsibility to, if I don't have to claw my way out of alcoholism, I need to be helping the people that are. And one way to do that is manifesting money or, you know, being with the right partner, manifesting that, manifesting the right opportunities to get yourself in the right places. Like, it's not just woo-woo playtime all about me and everyone else can manifest their dream life. And if somebody's homeless on the street, they have to just, if they just thought more positive, they would get their way out of it. It's like they're having that experience because that's where they are right now, whether they're meant to be, whether they chose it in a past life, whether it's a soul contract, whatever you want to call it, that's where they are. And if they're reaching up for help, you are obligated to give it. Like if you have that energetic privilege to be able to toy with things like manifestation, like, do the work, manifest the things, and then help people with it.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. All right, you made it through the holidays. I'm so very proud of you. Typically one of the most stressful times of the year. You did it. You got through it. And now it's time to look forward. We've got a new year upon us. It is 2024. You know, let's think the opposite of new year, new you. Let's talk about where you are already doing really well. Because around New Year's, we do get obsessed with wanting to change, wanting to expand. But why don't we just focus in on what we're really, really good at? Like maybe you're a really good organizer. Maybe you're a good time management person. Couldn't be me, but maybe it's you. Maybe you're taking your supplements every morning and now you want to add in breakfast or something. Therapy can help you find your strengths so that you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. That's what you want. You want to find a balance in therapy where you're feeling encouraged and supported and like somebody sees your strengths and then helping you add in different things to maybe support those strengths or maybe just pick up the slack in areas where you might be lacking a little bit. That's what I love. My therapist is a very good balancer of those two things. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Again, it's a new year. This could be the time to really give yourself a boost. It's entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. It takes away all the annoying little things about therapy. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So celebrate the progress that you've already made and learn how you can supplement that and become even better at it. Visit betterhelp.com/bad today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bad today to get 10% off of your first month. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Way. We just had a lot of favorite things parties over the last, month or so. Let me tell you what's on my favorite things list every single year. You guys already know this about me. It's basically every single Way product on the market. It's good for my hair. It's good for my skin. I smell amazing all the time. Way has my heart and soul forever. When I use my Way products, I know I'm going to have a good hair day. It's going to happen in 5 minutes. I'm going to be able to use the hair gloss. Have I even told you guys about the hair gloss? Let me tell you about it. The hair gloss gives you immediate shine straight from the shower. It also helps treat damage and enhances color vibrancy so your hair looks and feels healthier. The hair gloss is made with hyaluronic acid and rice water, so it provides immediate shine. And according to a customer perception study, over 85% of participants agreed that their hair looked shinier, healthier, and smoother. They also have amazing leave-in conditioner. I love their detox shampoo and their perfumes. They're my favorite perfumes in the entire world. I spend my own dollars on them. Okay, I go to the store and buy them. That's how much I love this sponsor. They also have an amazing hair oil that is a fast fix for healthy hair that is nutrient packed and absorbs quickly. So give your hair and body and scent, honestly, a glow up with Way. Go to theouai.com. Use the promo code BAD for 15% off of any product. That's theouai.com. Promo code BAD. It's just kind of fascinating that this is like quite literally in a lot of ways, like the opposite of this new age spirituality, because so much of the new age spirituality is kind of what you're saying. Like they can just create a new reality. Mm-hmm. They can just think their way out of it. They can just, you know, do these five steps of manifesting or affirmations mm-hmm. or whatever. They can just quantum leap right out of that. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, when you're tethered to reality, that is not actually what happens. That's not the reality for a lot of people.
Yes. So I experienced probably the first traumatic thing I've ever experienced, like real, not just like childhood trauma of being like, my parents didn't validate me enough. Like, sure, yeah. that shaped me. I actually now don't even view that as like, they're not. A lot of the things I used to call childhood trauma, I now I'm just like, oh, that shaped me. And maybe yeah. it didn't shape me ideally, but it just shaped me. It wasn't traumatic. So I experienced something genuinely traumatic.
Isn't that amazing how when you go through something really traumatic, you're like, oh,
literally
all that stuff I had been talking about that was traumatic. Oh, that was just stuff.
That was just life.
That was just like a hard day. Mm-hmm. And then you get dealt a hand that is like, oh, this is like the stuff that really ruins mm-hmm. lives mm-hmm. and like that really will affect me for years to come that I need to like seriously work through.
Right.
I mean, if it's what I'm thinking of, I feel like it happened within a few months of each other.
No, we both had one after the other.
We were like, cool. Our friends are probably like, I want out of this group message right now. Me and Ash are like the friends that like people probably don't want to hear from because we have a new huge life event that we're like, hey, also, by the way,
we kept those dinners going. We kept the conversation flowing for years. They owe us.
We kept the content rolling in with our respective traumas. Yeah. It was gorgeous.
So when I went through my like traumatic thing, it literally took me down and out on like a physical level for at least a year to where I really like I would sit down to quote unquote manifest something. And I immediately realized like manifestation is not available to people actively being like fucked over because your body, like you can't be in major fight or flight and be like, I'm going to elevate my vibration. I'm going to tear through my limiting beliefs. Like it just... I'm not going to say it's not possible because I don't want to like limit anyone. Like if it's possible for you, it's possible for you. It was not possible for me.
Yeah.
It was literally just survival mode. And it gave me so much more ambition to like, for the first time in my life, I would say, I think on our last podcast episode, we like kikied about how we're not.
We had no idea what was going on. Literally that episode was, first of all, just a few days before my biggest life trauma began, which I mean, I know everybody listening, it's like, yeah, you got divorced, big deal.
No.
It was so much more.
No.
And there were months and months of new things and just
it
new.
It was a TV show. It was like, if it had been a TV show, I would be like, this is a little heavy handed by the writers. Like they're going a little bit too hard.
I think I put it on Threads. Like if I trauma dumped on people, if I trauma dumped on the podcast or whatever, I honestly don't think people would believe
me.
I really don't. Like, I think that people would think I like Ambien dreamt it because there were so many crazy things that happened last year. And then not probably 2 months after you started your life.
Yeah.
I don't want to say blew up, but
it kind of blew up, but not in a different way. Mine different like way, blew up internally. Like it actually was such a good lesson in as within, so without.
Yeah.
It really opened my eyes to like, I was so selfish. I just wanted other people to exist for me. I needed everything to be perfect. I had no capacity to deal with things not being perfect.
Uh-huh.
And then it took like the lowest blow for me to be like, oh, this is life. And I remember just like crying to someone and being like, just reassure me that this is one of the worst things that could happen to a person because like, I can't go on if I think that like, it's not. And it's not. Like now I'm just so much more like my eyes are open to like, so much more compassion to people who've really gone through shit.
Yeah.
And it almost gives me more compassion now to people who can sit on their high horses and be like, well, if you just hustled as hard as I did, you'd have it. Because I'm like, oh, you just don't know. You have no way of knowing until you have been knocked down to the lowest low.
Yeah.
How hard things can be and how borderline incapable people can be of not being able to survive that until it's happened to you. Because I know for a fact, and maybe if I had been in a different situation and I have a daughter who I like have to keep living for, but like I was not functional. And the only reason that I am like okay and that my life didn't fall apart was I have a husband supporting me financially and he got up and he did the things. And when I was falling apart, he took the baby. But like so many people don't have that. And it has just opened my eyes to like, if you are in a position of, and this is not about privilege, like in the political sense or like the socioeconomic sense, but like, if you have felt it in your soul that you have this power to create your reality, like it's also a responsibility. And I feel that so deeply now.
Interesting.
To try to use that to just the advantage of, I guess I'm just a really good person.
Is what I guess I just am a humanitarian is basically the bottom line is that I, no, but it is, it's a really healthy place to come out of something really traumatic because I don't know. I feel like after trauma, people really do have every excuse in the book to be selfish.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot to step out of that and say, well, if I can survive this and I have learned this much and I have, I don't know. And I think that's why I struggle with like talking about what I went through and everything. And I mean, again, I don't know how detailed I want to be, but that's the thing is that's part of me is like, well, I have this podcast. I have people's ear for, you know, a little bit of time every week. Like, what if I could say something helpful? What if going through what I went through mirrors an experience that somebody else had? And there's so much fear behind sharing what I've been through, what we've been, you know, there's fear of judgment. There is a genuine fear that people would think I was making it up.
Really? There's,
yeah.
Even with all of us who could be like, no, no.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's just, I know
we can put together a slideshow.
I'm going to make everybody sign like affidavits that say like this actually happened. But I just go back and forth because I do feel that pull sometimes. Now I'm just opening up to you as my friend, just because it's like, I do feel a pull sometimes where I'm like, I should be talking about this more. I should be open with people about this. But the other thing is that I'm like, I also want to move on from it. I also don't want to take up, you know, I have a new life now. I have a new partner. I have a baby. I mean, maybe by the time this episode comes out, I literally do have a baby that it's like, if I go back and I discuss things that have happened or trauma that I went through or past relationships or whatever, like, does it come across like I didn't get over it? Does it come across? You know what I mean? Like there's all these fears around it that I'm trying to come out of and land at the point where you are, where you feel like you can now care for others better.
Right.
You
know? And I think in a way, I think I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself because like in saying like, I want to like save the world now. What you do helps people, period. Like not talking about it and just being somebody to like bring levity and laughter and stuff. Like it's helpful, period. But I remember when I was in the depths of my eating disorder, I truly felt like there was, I was never going to be better because once you recover, you don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's the most, I used to post about eating disorder recovery night and day because when I was in active recovery, it was on my mind. I felt so passionately about it. I was having wins. I was having losses. There was real emotion. Now, nothing is more boring to me than talking about eating disorders.
Yeah.
Because it just, it took up so much of my life. I'm over it. And now I have to remind myself sometimes that like, I felt like I was never going to get over it because I never saw people get over it. And so there's tons of people walking around who have overcome eating disorders, but they just don't talk about it because they've moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, in a way, those are like, those can be the most powerful testimonies. But in another way, like just like everyone can take your word for it that you've been through hell and like, they don't need to know the details. Like, while we're on this subject, like people need to stop fucking like pressing for details about like, you don't have to prove yourself to be like, I went through hell. It wasn't a cheeky little divorce of like, we're just splitting up. Like, it was hell.
Well, it was hell in so many ways. And then I just think, I know. And it's true because you just, I go back and forth so much. Do I have this responsibility or do I have am I well within my rights to say, well, you guys don't get to ask? Because I always hate that concept of people that are like, well, you chose to have a podcast and be public and all this stuff. So you owe us.
No, what the fuck?
Like the you owe us thing that I see all the time. Like, well, they owe us an explanation. And I used to be one of those people. I used to see people get divorced and be like, what the hell? You're not going to tell us why?
No,
like you're not going to sit us down and give us the nitty gritty of everything that happened. Like you literally just did. Like I had done an episode with my ex-husband about marriage, about how good our marriage was. First of all, do you know how embarrassing it is that you know how hard I have tried to get those episodes that like that lives on and my digital footprint sucks. Okay. It's not where I want it to be. But where's the humanity in that? You know, it's like, do I really owe it to everybody? Or do I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, it's so not.
This is just now me just asking Ashley.
No, it's so not a responsibility. It's an opportunity if you want it. But also you not making it your story is also so powerful because people who get divorced, and there've been a lot of people who've like heard your story and like, been like, oh, maybe I could do that too, which is an amazing thing. But like the fact that it doesn't come up in every conversation we have. Yeah. In fact, it rarely, like kind of to a suspicious degree of like, we should check in on Maddie. Like she went through something really hard. So
no, I just, I mean, if anybody, like if I have learned anything from my divorce and the subsequent events of my mm-hmm. life, it's really that, I mean, and this goes back to what we're talking about, that I was able to create my life mm-hmm. that I thought I was just a slave to in a lot of ways. Like that I really, like, I didn't know how much power I had to make my life.
Oh my God,
I'm gonna cry. Are you?
Yeah. Just thinking about how far you
come. No, because I will cry. No, but that's the only thing that I hope people, like, feeling dissatisfied or, and obviously there are a lot of life things that just suck, mm-hmm. you know, that it's just, you know, family can be hard. Relationships can be hard. You can't walk away from everything that's hard in your life, mm-hmm. but you can adjust and you can pivot and mm-hmm. you can say, what do I have control over? What is my next step here? And what can I do to make my life better? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just like what I was saying with friendships and stuff. It's like, well, what can I do to make my friendships better? I could probably be a better friend. I could probably, you know, what can I do to find a good partner? I can be a good partner. Mm-hmm. What can I do? Like, and when that became what I wanted to do, it was so fulfilling. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe how much, like, I feel like in the last year, I mean, we've been friends for years. We've been, you know, close with Lucy, Chloe. Like, I feel like in the last year, I burst at the seams with how mm-hmm. fulfilled I am in my mm-hmm. friendships, because it wasn't just like, well, who can take care of me and who can be my friend? Mm-hmm. And it was like an active choice of like piecing together my life. So anyway, I don't know. I don't think I will ever publicly discuss the nitty gritty.
Yeah. I don't even feel like you've rehashed it fully. Like we've never actually sat down and like heard the full story, like as it is. Like I still learn new things all the time that I'm like, oh, that's
like, wait, that's it was like, basically like, and I don't even mean to be coy and like have people listening be like, but it was basically like 2 weeks of my life last summer where a new insane thing happened every single day.
Yeah.
A new revelation, a new thing, a new something. Like I filed for divorce one day and then the next day, you know, something insane happened. The next day right. my cats were lost. It was like 2 or 3 weeks mm-hmm. basically that kind of trickled into the next few months that were just insanely traumatic revelations and things that were happening that, yeah, that, I mean, honestly, as I'm saying it, I'm like, did the details even matter?
Yeah.
Like they really don't matter that much. And it was just, yeah.
A good story, but like just the trauma was traumatic. Like everyone can just take our word for it.
We're going to just believe me. Okay.
I actually have a question that like, is like a, it's like a gnarly enough question. Like you might be like,
let's
no,
do it.
That's an offensive question.
Let's do it. Let's kick the year off strong.
Okay. Yeah. So I've watched you over the last few years, like just transform and grow into the most amazing version of yourself. And I remember thinking like we did our episode together. You had so many fun things coming up. Like you had just done your live show in New York. Like everything was like coming up, Maddie. You had moved into this like amazing new home. And I just remember thinking like, she is on such an upward trajectory. And it was all you. Like the thing is like, I've watched you experience things and like, you really are somebody who like you've elevated what's happening within. And it was like elevating everything happening outside of you, uh-huh. you know, true manifestation, whatever you want to call it. And then now in hindsight, like when I heard about everything that happened, like my heart was broken, but seeing where you are now and how quickly you got there now, do you feel like it's appropriate to say that you were like on this upward trajectory and it was just like, in a way you had to manifest things blowing up. Like you just didn't align with that life anymore. So it imploded and just catapulted you to where you are now. Like in a way, do you feel like you did create this? Like not to say that you created the trauma or deserve the trauma in any way, but like,
I think that I would have stayed in my relationship and in my situation through just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be put in a position where I had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would have persevered. Mm-hmm. Truly, I mm-hmm. through a lot. Mm-hmm. I cannot overstate how much I would have put up with for my entire life. I mean, it was to the point, like I said this at the beginning, where I was like, okay, I'm never going to see my family or friends again,
mm-hmm.
that this will be my life for a myriad of different reasons. Like it had to be bad enough that I literally had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, with my spiritual beliefs, I'm like, what do I believe in? Do I believe in a God? Do I believe in a higher self? Do I believe in, you know, other dimensions or whatever? Who's controlling the game board here? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I learned that if you're not on track, if you're not headed towards where you're meant to be, life will put you there.
Okay.
Like, and I say life as a very general term for whatever you believe in. Like, mm-hmm. I don't believe that it's I don't believe that's possible to be on the wrong track, mm-hmm. because I think if you're on it, you will be adjusted. If you are, I don't even know, because I was going to say if you're like paying attention or if you're listening, but honestly, I wasn't, I had no choice. Mm-hmm. I had no choice in the matter. Like, you know, with my divorce, there were things that were happening that like, I was like physically ill. I had like sickness inside of me. I wasn't able, like you were saying, like you go into survival mode, mm-hmm. and like my body couldn't function. And like, it was almost like my brain, you know, when like you pass out and then your body breathes for you because mm-hmm. you're not breathing mm-hmm. properly. So you're like, I feel like I had a few moments like that where it was like, okay, things are so bad. Like I fully dissociated and things happened. And I feel like I became this like robot almost that made decisions that got me out of that situation. Mm-hmm. I don't even really know how to, I don't know if this is even answering your question.
No, that makes perfect
sense. But like, I had to be at such a low point where I wasn't even thinking about it, where I was like, okay, I have to leave. Mm-hmm. I have to go. Mm-hmm. I have to step out of this. I have to like, and I was just like moving through the motions. It's so funny because it actually, I was looking at an old Marco Polo that I sent Lucy about, you know, the day I moved out, the day I got my new apartment. And I like look like so, I honestly look a little stoned and I'm not, but like, I look like glazed over where I'm like, okay, so this happened today and I'm doing this and now mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. And I just got my apartment and now I'm doing this. And it was like somebody or something just had to take over. And I look back and I'm like, that was, I lean towards saying higher self.
Yeah.
I lean towards saying future me, like where I am now, being like, bitch, hold on, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. So just shut down for a second. Let me pull you out of this. Let me get you to where you need to be. And we're going to fast track this because you're on the, like, and I see it in every aspect of my life. I mean, my relationships, of course, I see it in like my body. I feel it in my body. Like I'm almost 9 months pregnant and my body looks different. My face looks different. I'm no longer in survival mode. I'm no longer in fight or flight literally all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I created it, but I know that something was so amiss that there was no choice. There was no choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. And with all of that in mind, I feel like
we're that meme where it's like, no, totally. And no, it's like totally. The blind leading the blind.
Honestly, completely possible.
No, literally. But I don't want to say, because people know who listen to the podcast, I love a healthy dose of this. Mm-hmm. I am not the most spiritual person you'll ever find, but I believe in something. Mm-hmm. I believe in something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but I felt it because it's gotten me out of situations. And, you know, 5 years ago, I would have said it was something religious. It was God. It was Jesus. It was all these things. You know, 2 years ago, I would have said, oh, it was all me. Mm-hmm. Now where I am now, I'm like, I don't know what power that was, but something got me out of that. And I'm going to go with that.
Right. You know? I feel like that's where we're at now. Like we just have, probably because of the internet, we have such a capacity to like see everyone's perspective that like normally people, what you're experiencing, that like being held and guided, even though it was like the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Like normally people be like, it was angels carrying me. And now it's like, you don't have to put a label on it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's how I feel. Like I would have called this so many different things throughout the course of my life. And it's kept me like believing in something bigger, mm-hmm. but that's about the only title I have.
Yeah.
Is something bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even hearing this all laid out and hearing like everything from like, you have this episode talking about how great your marriage was and then it like all fell apart, and seeing now, like, even if you never get into the details, like we've all been in that position of like holding on to something so tight and loving it. And then being in that moment of like, what if I lose it? And just if you take anything away, like if you feel the need to like help other people, just know that your existence and going through this and you're here on the other side of it with this beautiful relationship, beautiful life, beautiful career, beautiful bebé. Like,
if you guys wonder why I have Ash on, this is why. This is why. No, but that, I mean, that's really, really kind. It's probably more credit than I deserve, but I don't know. I've talked to a lot of women since my divorce. And I don't know, I was talking to this girl who who's going through a divorce. And I got this, like, I never am excited for people to go through a breakup or anything like that. But she was just talking to me about how good she's feeling and things like that. And whether it's a divorce or a move or, you know, any huge life change, I think, like, at the end of the day, the thing that I learned is that, like, you will get through it. And I don't mean to sound like a Pinterest quote. You just will.
Right.
You just will get through it. And life just adjusts you.
Yeah.
If you're not on the right path, that's why I say, like, I really don't believe in a wrong path anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any person is on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. Because if they were, then they would have had something that moved them over.
Yeah, they would have been yeeted off of it.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. It's so funny how just the more you live, the more the old person, like, Facebook quotes, like, resonate.
That's so,
like,
true.
Like, you've survived 100% of the bad days so far.
I literally saw that. I was like, I am. You're so right.
The other day I was in class and we were, like, writing out affirmations and I wrote out, I am enough. And I was like, I must be in a low point right now if that's resonating right now. If I need to be reminded, like, I am enough and that's hitting, like, but I probably
true,
need some help.
But it's true. But I don't know. I think about that a lot, that I'm like, I really, if you would have listed, like, and you maybe feel the same way too. Like, if you would have listed everything that I was going to go through in the last year and a half,
I would have been like, no,
I would have, I would have laughed you out of the building. I would have been like, with who? What is that made up storyline? I don't even know those people. I don't even know who that is. And it just, like, I don't know. It's wow. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where you're at now, do you feel like you created this? Like, do you feel like you manifested this?
100%.
Where
I am now, I feel like the day I woke up was literally December 1st, 2022. Mm-hmm. I remember it very specifically. I literally have a journal entry of it. I remember I wasn't okay quite yet, but I definitely had a grip on the fact that I was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I was very much like, I was in my new apartment. I was, like, journaling a lot. I was kind of in my solo, like, cocoon, mm-hmm. as Wes would call it, like the goo phase. Mm-hmm. And the goo phase. And I was definitely like, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's so crazy. But I had this insane amount of peace about my life. And then actually January 1st, like, of this last year, like, it was the first new year. I was like, I can do this. I can, like, pick my life now. Mm-hmm. I can, like, date. I can move. I could have a baby if I want, like, I could, you know, all these things. And then I was really intentional. And then I met Gray, obviously, really soon after, mm-hmm. but I was very intentional about, I still am, where I spend my time and who I spend my time with.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't spend 1 minute with somebody I don't want to spend time with.
That is, as somebody that you've spent more than 1 minute with, that is so incredibly validating.
Well, no, it's literally true. Like, I just say no more than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, and that's, again, like, no is a full sentence, like, but it's so annoying that all these Glennon Doyle ass lines are so true.
Right.
I just say no to everything. Mm-hmm. I don't go to one influencer event. I don't go to one hangout that is not chock full of people I love. Mm-hmm. I don't. Mm-hmm. And the faster I started doing that, the more things fell into place because I wasn't around people who were getting me, I don't know, off track, I guess, which I just said there's no off track, but I think that's how I found somebody that I love so much so fast, because I was like, I don't have literally one extra minute in my day to not be insanely happy. I was just so unhappy for so long. Like, if you're not going to exponentially raise my happiness levels, mm-hmm. I don't want to do it.
It is really crazy to see. Like, I remember when you sent me his palms on, like, your first date, and I was like, oh, like, I remember that very clearly, because I was like, I'm very impressed with just, like, how you handled the whole thing. Like, I remember the people that you were talking about having met, and, like, did you go on many dates after you were divorced?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Gray was my first. Well, no, I shouldn't say my first date. I had, not mm-hmm. many. No. Mm-hmm. Like, I was on the apps and I had, like, kissed other people. Like, mm-hmm. I was, like, moving in the direction of dating a lot. I always tell people, like, I was going to be a huge slut. I really was. I promise. It didn't work out that way. Okay. It just so happened that I met. But yeah, I was very much picky about my time, mm-hmm. as we all should be within reason. I mean, it goes back to the spirituality thing where it's like, of course we should be, picky with who we spend our time with. Sometimes you got to do things that suck. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have to go to work. Sometimes you have to go to family things you don't want to go to. Sometimes you have to do doctor's appointments that aren't fun. Like, of course there's life things like that. And spirituality should not direct you into the arms of, like, well, I only get to think about me and I only get to do mm-hmm. things I want to do. But to an extent, we have the ability to say no to things that make us unhappy.
Right.
You know, like you don't have to hang out with people. Somebody asked me that. They were like, how do you not hang out with people you don't like? I'm like, I just literally say, I can't make it. Thanks. Like, thanks for thinking of me, but I can't go. Mm-hmm. I can't make it tonight. Thanks. Mm-hmm. That's always my line. I always say, oh, I can't. I actually can't make it that night. Thanks for thinking of me.
When I learned that you don't need an excuse to say no to something, my whole life changed. You can like just stuff, be like, no.
Stuff like that, that I think that's where spirituality comes. Spirituality is such a broad term, but like your inherent worthiness and your mm-hmm. identity and things like that. That's where you exercise creating your reality. It's mm-hmm. those things. Because like I said, and with Mars and with having a baby, like you can't just say, well, I deserve more sleep.
Right.
So I need her to become second to me.
I'm just
going to
ignore her. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to ignore her. But do you have the option of not going to, a hangout with people that don't fulfill you? For sure.
Yeah. 100%.
It's exactly what you're talking about. Finding this middle ground of, you know, seeing your inherent worthiness, taking care of yourself, being selfish, creating your reality while being a good person and a helpful human. And a good part of other people's lives. Mm-hmm. So
you're such a good example of that.
And I feel like it, but I can talk a big game. I can talk about it.
I really feel like you are. One thing that came to mind when I was at your baby shower the other day was I was like, oh my God, Maddie is so much better. Like she is so much funnier, so much kinder, so much sweeter than anybody even knows. Like it was kind of crazy because you're definitely like the only famous person I know. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I guess like
you are. Okay. Hold on.
Being famous on TikTok means nothing.
100K on TikTok is not nothing. If you were coming to me with 20, 25, 30, I would say maybe not.
I actually felt like a bigger deal when I was like 10,000 Instagram followers. Like
no, but okay. you are a big deal. So don't even go there. But
no, but it was just so fun. Like your baby shower was so amazing just because it was such a testimony to like who you've become, but also like where you came from. Like you have friends spanning everywhere. I think you should talk way more about like your friendships, how to be a good friend, because it's definitely like I wanted to say is my favorite thing about you is that you know how to bring people together, but that's selfish. Like I benefit from that. So I couldn't say that.
No, honestly, like I am not proud of many things, but I am proud of my taste in people.
Yeah.
I really am. Like I have fabulous taste mm-hmm. in people. And I think Wes said this to me that she said her gift, maybe this was even in our episode. I think it was that her gift to her daughters mm-hmm. is the women in her life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's gorgeous.
I could not feel that more in my bones, mm-hmm. especially like, I mean, and I say it all the time, I would have been great if it was a boy. Would have been great. But she's not a boy, so I don't care. No, but the fact that I have all these women around me that I have gotten to know that also have daughters mm-hmm. that are raising daughters in, you know, similar circumstances to me, I have no anxiety about her because I'm like, she has... I mean, you and I talk about this all the time about the village, mm-hmm. about the village. I wish we lived in a village. I really do.
I wish. I'm manifesting it. Don't worry. Yes. That's what I'm working on.
Okay. Ash has got that. Like, I wish we all lived within a mile radius of each other. I wish our kids could run to each other's houses. I do. But like, I am proud of the village that we have built within our, you know, circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like it's possible for all women. I don't know. Cause people ask me that. I can't find good friends. I can't find friends for my kids. I can't, you know, all these things. I'm like, I promise you it's out there. There are women who will see you, love you, honor you, who want to cheer for you. Like they are out there. I feel it in my bones.
Mm-hmm. It's just the truth. Like we're all, especially once you become a mom, like,
yeah,
it's so lonely and so isolating. And I remember when I had a baby, there was one day, this is the worst freak out I've ever had in my life. I walked out of our bedroom and the baby was asleep. I walked out of our bedroom and I just started screaming because I was like, I was lied to. I thought that you have a baby and nothing changes and you go back to work and everything's the same and you have the same friends and that's the good thing. That's the thing you aspire to. And if it changes every particle of who you are, you failed and you have let the patriarchy win somehow and you are letting motherhood rob you of your personality. And I was freaking out because I was like, this has fundamentally rewritten the fabric of who I am.
As it should.
And I was freaking out because I was like, what was I doing? Like, who was I before? And like, I should have held a funeral for that person because she is no longer. And it was just the biggest mind fuck. But everyone is in that situation and they all just need friends. But to your point of saying no, I feel like it does start, like if you're struggling with it, with saying no, like you need to become more concerned with who you align with than who aligns with you.
Yes.
And you need to become like sensitive to what's clicking and what's not. Like if you're trying desperately to like slide into someone's DMs and like become really good friends or even like become friends with the neighbor or whatever, and it's not clicking, it's okay.
You have to catch the vibe.
You have to catch the vibe.
Do you remember when I said vibe blindness at dinner and I was literally crying, laughing. I couldn't even. And then like when I got the joke out, you guys were like, okay. And I was like, no, that was funny.
No, I was hysterical.
You were laughing.
Chloe was scared
that I was like not well.
No, you were having a stroke.
I really was, but I like thought it was the funniest thing ever. Cause we were talking about time blindness, uh-huh. TikTok. Anyway, but you have to catch a vibe. You have to be sensitive to it. And I feel like a good place to start is to know what you don't want in a friend or in a village or in, you know, around like, and you can just start saying no to that. Mm-hmm. And the yeses will roll in mm-hmm. after that. Like if you're hanging out with somebody and it's just not there, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You're not going to click with every person. I feel like I've gone on dozens of friend dates in the last like 3 years, like where I've said like, yeah, let's go here and let's go to lunch and let's go to, you know, whatever. And it's not necessarily that there's anything wrong. It's just like, okay, this wasn't my village. Mm-hmm. This didn't mesh the way I wanted it mm-hmm. to. They are wonderful and I love them and I respect them as a friend. They're just not going to be part of my right. core village, right. you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, but I don't know.
And also just kind of what we were saying about romantic relationships earlier, because we're so smart and we have all the answers.
Yes, of course.
Like, if you're like,
my 2.5 months of dating.
You're like, this is how you manifest a soulmate. No, but like,
well, no, literally.
We always joke about like making courses. Like you should make a course on how to get divorced and how to manifest a soulmate.
Honestly, if you think about like Tinder or Hinge or whatever, I'm about to say something real profound. All right.
Give me.
The left swipes are just as productive as the right.
Oh, mic drop.
Literally.
Thank you, Bumble, for sponsoring. Just kidding.
And this episode. But the people you say no, it is just as productive as what you say yes to.
Oh my God. You're that actually, if I could give one manifestation tip, because I'm sure that like, that's, you can't talk about that without people being like, what do? Stop settling for shit. Literally, that's the key, because the law of attraction is self-worth.
Yes.
It's not being positive. It's what you feel you are worthy of.
Yes.
Will come into your life.
Yes.
Period. The end. At the end of the day, it's not about being positive. What you feel you're worthy of. So if you are saying yes to something, even if you're like, well, I'll just say yes to this guy because, you know, I'm bored tonight, but like I'm open to my soulmate. It's like, no, say no to everything and that isn't what you want. That's how you raise your vibe.
No, literally. I was so, especially post-divorce, because I feel like this happens a lot. People get divorced and they find somebody right away. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not always like the healthiest situation, whatever. But in my case, like I felt like I just was so comfortable being like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. I already dealt with that. I already have done these things. Like if you don't respond how I want you to, if you don't act how I want you to, if it's not right away good, mm-hmm. like that's how with Gray, I was like, it was incredible from moment one. I didn't give him any, I mean, and maybe it's not good of me, but there was no grace period of mm-hmm. like, well, I kind of like him. And so maybe I'll give him a chance. I would have never done that. Mm-hmm. I had tried that where I was like, he's not with Gray, with like other people that I was talking to on the apps or whatever, being like, well, he's kind of, and then I'd be like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Why am I wasting my time?
Right.
This is so dumb. If it's not so good right then I'm saying no to it.
I honestly feel like the dating period, and you're not, I mean, I guess he's still your boyfriend technically, but like that's, you're not,
I mean,
in
it. Yeah.
But when you're in that dating period, like that's when you should be so fucking selfish. That's when you should be all about like what I deserve. And when you're like in a committed relationship, that's when it's time to like grow together. But at the beginning, like it's weird because people will apply long-term relationship thinking to the beginning of a relationship.
Absolutely.
And then early dating stages toward like the middle of a relationship.
You're so right about basically everything, but also like this mentality of like, well, I just like give your spouse second chances. Right. Sure. give the father of your child. Like if Gray did something now that bugged me, I would work through it. I would, you know,
like I don't have time for this. Like, me and your baby are out.
No, like I would work through it. Of course, we're in a committed relationship. There's growth. There's all those things. if we're 2 weeks in and you say something that hurts my feelings, goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, goodbye. Uh-huh. There is no reason for me to be here.
Uh-huh.
I wish that my bullshit meter came way down way fast, or not meter, like tolerance
mm-hmm.
had come down way more, way sooner. Mm-hmm. I would have saved myself a lot of trouble, friendships, relationships, work, everything. But I just built up this tolerance for taking bullshit that eventually my life sucked because I had built up this resistance to other people's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, when all of that came crashing down and I was able to like start fresh and mm-hmm. be like, okay, I'm going to date new people. I'm going to date, like, I would talk to a guy and he would say like one thing that I was like, ugh, bye.
Right.
I don't have time for you. Yeah. I don't want to do this. I don't like literally want like, and I was so sensitive to the feeling that I got with other people. And mm-hmm. that's why I still am so unwilling. I'm so unwilling to go into spaces, places, faces, whatever, that don't make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is why I am happy.
Right.
Like I really am. Like, I just, I'm not willing anymore. It's
right.
just, you do it for enough years. You sacrifice yourself enough. I mean, which as women we're told is like so noble and so wonderful. And it's such a like compliment when people tell you how mm-hmm. selfless you are. And finally, when I was like, I think that I will be a better person, a better partner, a better mother, a better daughter, a better friend, if I fill my life with like goodness
mm-hmm.
and not just taking shit from people.
Mm-hmm.
You
so
know?
What is one weird thing? Are we like almost out of time?
I'm out all night.
Okay, perfect.
I've got literally
what?
However long.
What's something weird that Gray does that you will forgive? Just like a little weird thing he does.
Hey, we were talking about this. We were talking this about this at my shower.
Uh-huh.
Like weird things. I don't find him.
I don't find him to be weird. You're not with a big fat weirdo.
I find him sometimes like a little bit too normal where I'm like, okay, are you going to like whatever?
Yeah.
A weird thing he would do that I would forgive.
Just something that he does do, like a weird quirk he has.
A weird quirk. I mean, I said this to you before, but like he eats like a full meal at like 3 a.m. every night. Like I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be like, where the hell is he? And like, I'll just hear like a little rustle. He's like a little borrower in the kitchen, just like eating.
What does he eat?
Anything that's out, like anything. Like he literally, I have to like, it's seriously like having a pet where like you have to put like food away.
He's scratching at the door like, let me out.
No, literally. Does Alex do weird stuff?
Oh, what? Something weird that Alex does.
Or something weird that you do.
Oh my God.
I think that I have more weirdness that yes. he has to forgive,
no,
honestly.
I'm quite weird. Like
yeah.
I'm the big fat weirdo.
Yeah.
Oh, I turn on the water every time I pee still to this day.
Oh, I do that too.
Which is
water on, door locked.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm home alone.
Water on, door locked, music playing loudly. Like
yes.
no one is allowed to hear me pee. That's like sacred space. That's like sacred safe time.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. Like I did dabble with, you know, like, let's see what our period blood can do. Like, let's see if it.
Yeah. That's weird.
You know, I may have used it as a face mask once or twice.
Did you do a menstrual face mask?
There's stem cells in there.
Ashlyn.
I'm so sorry. It's sanitary. It's your own body.
Ashlyn.
I know it's the worst thing I've ever done.
I can't even call you by your by your name. I have to call you Ashlyn. I feel
you know
I feel so distant from you.
You have, I will say, your barometer for like what is disgusting and unacceptable versus what's just normal is so random. I've not been able to find the cadence of it. Because you'll be like clipping your fingernails into the garbage can is disgusting. I'm like, wait, where would you want to clip them?
Wait, where have I saw that?
I don't know. Like, I remember there was a story that you read where somebody's husband like clipped them like into the toilet and flushed them or something. And you're like, that's foul. And I was like, what do you want?
Honestly, I probably did say that about clipping them in the trash because they should go down the sink or in the toilet.
Okay. Okay. So
something
yeah, what do you
like
do
that.
With your, what do you do with your toenails?
The sink.
The bathroom sink?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I feel like that is way crazy.
Or the toilet.
Okay. So
I don't know.
What's okay. How do you feel about like farts, poop? Like, what do you?
Okay. This is actually very interesting because I have changed my perspective on this quite a bit.
Okay. I'm guessing that was like a recent revelation.
Because formerly, I would never poop in front of a partner yeah. ever. I've never done that. But farts and fart talk and poop talk have been a relevant topic of conversation in the past.
Yeah.
I decided that in my new relationships, I was not going to do that. And no, let me tell you.
No farting, no pooping, no.
No. I mean, no. Like, yeah. I literally don't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, now that I'm pregnant, a lot is out in the open. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll say, like.
It's a season in time.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm so constipated. Or it was like, mm-hmm. I haven't gone in like 3 days.
This
I'm
is like relevant medical information about his baby.
Exactly.
Like, what if the constipation is interfering with her?
What if I'm in labor?
What if you're in labor?
What if I have labor diarrhea? Like, it could happen. I told myself like at the beginning of this relationship, like I don't want to feel like roommates. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like we're just like buddies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't fart.
Okay.
I don't fart. I mean, I do fart just privately, but mm-hmm. I don't fart in front of
you do still fart privately. You celebrate in private.
I do it on special occasions. Yeah. I do think I farted once in front of him on accident and it was humiliating. And he's also farted in front of me. Like a couple times on accident and then like twice to be like, oh, what's that over there? Like,
see,
you know,
that for me, unforgivable.
Really? No. Is that unforgivable?
No.
Where are you
no.
at with poops and farts?
Poops and farts are, you're not allowed to say them in my house. Like I just, it's never been like, I grew up in a huge family, but we were not a poop family. We were not a fart family. Like nobody uh-huh. would fart in front of each other. So
really?
Yeah, I just don't like, I still never have. It feels
you've never pooped.
Kind of like you said, it's really interesting. Like romantic relationships are weird when you're with like your partner for life, because it's like, that's your family, but it's also the only person you're going to have sex with for the rest of your life. So it's like, you do kind of have to make a choice of like, which way are we leaning to? Like, are we going to preserve any amount of like dignity?
Well, I know many a couple who poop, fart in front of each other.
And that are still so sexy.
That are still,
I can think of one.
Me too. We're probably thinking of the same one. Like, I know a lot of people that it's just like, it's a personality thing, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, in this current relationship, it's not happening.
So you're telling me with all of your womanliness, you wouldn't use a little period face mask? Are you going to eat your placenta?
I honestly was open to it, but I read something about how when it's dehydrated, it loses a lot of the key nutrients that people want out of the placenta.
Yeah.
So I'm not even saying no, just because it's like, it doesn't gross me out. I would crush that shit up, put it in pills.
Yeah,
for sure. But I saw that the main thing is progesterone.
Yeah.
And that you can overload your system on progesterone. And please nobody take this as medical fact, because I have no idea. But I had read that, meaning I saw a TikTok about it.
Yeah, no, seriously. I also saw a TikTok article that said that your placenta like is the barrier between the baby and everything the baby's not supposed to get. Like it's a filter. So it's filtering out like the heavy metals and stuff for the baby's case. So
no, I have a pretty like, I would say crunchy approach to my birth. I mean, I haven't like shared it, and I'll share it after it happens, because who knows what will happen. But I have a pretty like earthy, feminine, divine view of birth. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be doing all of the wives' tales, all the dates and the raspberry label. Like, sure. Like, I'm open to all that stuff. Yeah. I have become obsessed with birth, as you know, in the last few months since I've been pregnant.
It's kind of a left turn for you.
It like, is.
It's kind of your Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce era of like,
yes.
Now you're in your feminine, which is very unexpected. I remember when you, like a few months before you got divorced, you sent me a picture of your hand and you were like, do you see anything about babies? And I remember being a little shocked, because I was like, I didn't even know that that was on your mind.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed so far removed from who you were. But now I'm like, I can't imagine you not as a mother.
Yeah. Well, and I think I had never had the biological push of, you're ready to have kids. Mm-hmm. Not one time in my marriage.
Until you met the man you're supposed to have kids
until
with.
No, quite literally. Like I never had this, you're ready. Oh, this, because people will say that all the time. How did you, you know, did you know that you were ready? Personally? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I personally did. Mm-hmm. I personally had a moment where my biology said to me, you are ready to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And I feel really lucky that I had that. I don't think a lot of people have that. Yeah. I think a lot of people are like, I just dove in because I wanted kids and I didn't feel ready. I felt ready on every level. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, this is the moment. This is now.
Were you I'm sure you had some like fears. Like what was your biggest reservation around having a kid with Grace so fast? Like, was it what other people thought?
100%. It was only what other people thought.
Really? So you,
yeah.
Like, how do you, I'm very curious about your thoughts on trusting yourself again after going through what you went through.
Yeah.
Because it's without a doubt possible. Like, I feel like you have more grounds to trust yourself now than ever, because it's so much easier to look back and see where you weren't listening to like the little voice, the little urge to do things differently.
I look back on my engagement and my courtship and, you know, dating in my early 20s, and there were a lot of things I ignored. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird because it's like, okay, let me try and put this into words. I had these feelings early on in when we were dating, like things just didn't feel completely right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the language for it. I didn't know if it was anxiety. I didn't know if it was normal jitters. I didn't know. And I couldn't have known. I couldn't have known that I wasn't listening to myself. I thought that it was just normal. I thought it was normal that I was feeling these things before getting married. I thought it was normal to, you know, think like, you know, to not feel totally happy and settled. And so mm-hmm. I just had felt those things before. So post-divorce, I was just very conscious of them and I didn't ignore them. And that's why I have that rule that I talked about in June in my anniversary episode, the tell your best friend rule, mm-hmm. where it's like, if you are having those, you need to say it to somebody. If you're not sure, you need to have friends around you that are more grounded than you maybe, right. or that can say like, hey, that's not a totally normal feeling to mm-hmm. be having. That's not. So I guess with practice and with like, I don't know if any of that, again, I don't know if any of that makes sense, but just like, if I had the thought of like, I'm not happy with mm-hmm. this, or like, that's scary, or like, mm-hmm. that does not feel right. Or like, I need to ignore that in order to do this. I never ignore those anymore. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way? Do you know what I mean?
Without a doubt. Cause yeah. I spent many a month not telling my best friends everything.
Yeah.
And it really just, nobody knew what was going on with me. I was yeah. freaking out and nobody knew why. I never felt like I would get this advice and this comfort, and it wasn't like touching the deep part of me that yeah. needed advice and comfort and stuff like that.
I'm sorry, Ash.
Oh my God. No, it's,
I mean, totally fine. I mean, I'm sorry that you had to experience that. I mean, it's just shitty.
I was really due for some shit though. Like I've had it pretty easy. So
we
not,
needed to knock yeah, Ash down. Okay.
I needed to be knocked you down. Got, a peg.
Honestly, like what's interesting is that this episode, I want to talk about you getting so hot postpartum.
Oh,
because, and maybe that's what happened. Maybe the universe was like, she got too hot. We need to take her down.
No, my hair was falling out. I was developing wrinkles. I was like, fuck, I have to heal, mostly because I want to be hot for like a couple more decades.
No, but I feel like your physical health and your, like the way you've mm-hmm. approached it, do you feel like it has helped you heal spiritually?
I mean, without a doubt.
Emotionally, and all of that.
I feel like it's so funny. Do you ever feel like what people know you for is like so far from like the most important things about you? And like,
literally every day of my
yeah,
life.
Yeah. Like, cause people, and that's what I was thinking at your baby shower, of like, everyone loves Maddie. Like I get recognized as being your friend in public.
Stop.
Like,
it's
so
stop.
Everyone loves Maddie. And I'm like, you see 1/16 of how delightful she is. It's kind
that's
of
really nice.
It's kind
that's
of
really
shocking.
Nice and not true, but I'll take it.
When it comes to like fitness and health and stuff, like that is the most important thing to me. And
yeah.
my deepest spiritual beliefs come back to my body. Like I am here to be in a body. It's the most deep spiritual relationship I have is with my body. And so being so dissociated from my body, both in pregnancy, because my pregnancy was horrific.
Yeah.
And then afterward, and it was so like, it just took complete surrender and like to be like, this is who I am. And I almost view my body as like a companion, because there's like me and then there's like this companion that needs me, but it's also here to support me, and it can offer me so much relief.
This is the best thing I've ever heard.
Oh really?
I'm obsessed with that concept that you just laid out.
Me
like
too.
Being a partner with your mm-hmm. body is literally the most gorgeous thing I've ever heard.
It's kind of like a pet. Like it's like a pet that's
like your little Tamagotchi.
Literally. Like it's like a pet that's like, it's always there for you, and it's not you, but it can give you so much relief. Like it really does feel like a separate thing. So over the last year, it took like total surrender of like, this is the body I have and I just have to love it. And I can't like, I just can't do this anymore. Like I've been waiting so long to get to that point of like, I can't. I mean, I've been talking a lot lately about postpartum weight loss, mostly because it's a good hook
yeah.
to get people talking about more important things.
Yeah.
But I never intended to lose like postpartum weight, and like my boobs got demolished. I had a C-section. I have the gnarliest scar. Like I look so different. I feel so different. I'm still not fully recovered, but it just was this amazing place of like, I got to care for my body like it was a baby, and I bonded with it like it was its own newborn baby, of like, you can't do much and we don't know what we're doing and we have to learn on the go. Like we have to learn how to eat. Like my bones were falling apart. My teeth were falling apart. Like pregnancy did such a number on me that I had to learn how to take care of it from the ground up, and realizing that like, the way that I wanted, like, I was just so hungry my whole life.
Yeah.
I was hungry for like love and nourishment. And so honestly, postpartum was when I realized I started nourishing my body for real, giving it tons of protein, tons of warm food, really, really simple food, not trying to diet, not trying to lose weight, not even like secretly, you know, when you're like not trying to lose weight, but like you're secretly kind of hoping that like something will happen.
You'll get
the flu and like lose some weight or something like that. Anyway, so it's fully its own like podcast and stuff.
No, 100%. But just this concept is blowing my mind and so connecting with me in every possible way, because I mean, it's like the partnership that you're talking about with your body. I mean, I feel that in pregnancy because I feel like my body is her partner.
Yes.
Like my body needs to be safe and my body needs to be well and it needs to be rested and it needs to be all those things and it needs to be loved and my brain needs to be healthy and my anxiety levels need to be low and my cortisol needs to be taken care of. And like, I have that responsibility to her. And so like looking forward and being like, okay, but I still have that responsibility postpartum. It's more to myself, but it's also like you're your gift to Mars. You know what I mean? Like the way you treat your body and talk about it and love it, she will mirror it. We just, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever it might be, we mirror our mothers in a million different ways. And especially with the way we look at our bodies. And like you said, we could go off on this for another 3 hours. So I'll just have Ash come back when I actually am postpartum and we'll talk about it.
That would be really
fun. That's a really good idea. But what was I going to say? Just that it's the healthiest and like, it's how we should feel about our bodies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's fucked the fuck up.
Yeah.
That it takes something like full on having a baby to have that solidify for so many women.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's like this crazy conspiracy because I remember being a teenager and I would look at moms and I would see their wrinkles or their fat or they quote unquote let themselves go. And I would discredit them because that's what I've been taught to do is women are connected to their, like their value is how good they look. And so I would look at these women and I would see them as just they were less valuable versus like a woman who was skinny or had, you know, fake boobs and was getting Botox and filler. And so she looked really like good. Like I would think that those women were smarter or had more to offer me. And it's this crazy conspiracy where you have these older women who want to help you and they give you advice and they tell you what to do. And they have so much wisdom. And you as a brainwashed kid just from society, like I just tuned them out completely. I was like, what do you know?
Yeah.
And then I am on the other side of it. And I'm more on the side of like, somebody's mom with, you know, like a postpartum body and weight on me that I never would have let stay on me before. And I'm like, oh, now I'm the person that they are being trained to tune me out because I have wisdom now and experience now that could free them from the shackles.
Yeah.
But they're being brainwashed. Like it's just so crazy. Like it's internalized everything. It's internalized misogyny. And it's just sad, but we're fighting the good fight.
And I just like raising a daughter amongst women like you, Ash, is an honor. It really is. And like, I mean what I say when I just like, I really don't spend time with people who I don't feel genuinely fulfilled by. And I know I'm not the only person listening or that is in your life that feels genuinely fulfilled by you. So whatever you are doing, I mean, I feel like we've been walking parallel sort of paths in a lot of ways, just amongst healing and, you know, a lot of other stuff. But
I'm so happy that we're here now. Well, I'll have to come brag about myself on another episode.
Okay, but you have a podcast. You're on TikTok. If you know me, you know Ash, but I'll post everything and everywhere you can find her. At this point, when this comes out,
I'll be doing something different than I'm doing now. I'm positive.
But will you be doing Site K?
Probably.
Okay.
I think so.
I can't wait to hop on that train.
I know. I'm so excited.
I'm serious. Thank you for being here. I love you so much. This is like a treat for the people. And will you come back, please?
Of course.
I might show up at your door tomorrow.
I'll ride your coattails all the way to the moon.
Okay, I love you so much.
Love you.
Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.